face out. Two ducks in my spyglass, furry as a mouse. It's a sweet nature, a sweet nature thing. It's a sweet nature, a sweet nature thing. It's a mighty fine,
mighty fine,
a mighty fine nature thing. It's a mighty fine,
mighty fine,
a mighty fine nature thing.
Welcome to Yarns at Yin Hu, a podcast about the fiber arts and other post-apocalyptic skills. Episode 140, Road to Rhinebeck. Wednesday, October 12, 2016. I'm your host, Sarah. You can find me on social media as Sarah Pomegranate. The Yarns at Yin Hu podcast has a Facebook page, and it's available on iTunes. For each episode, there are photographs, links, and show notes on my website, yarnsatyinhu.com. Welcome to Wrap and Turn NC, who is Mindy from North Carolina. Mindy was swayed by my description of Blackthorn DPNs to give them a try, so I hope that's going well for you, Mindy. And she also has an Etsy shop with yarn caddies and other great finds for knitters. Currently, there is a hand-dyed yarn in the shop called Indian Corn, and it's just a beautiful combination of autumnal colors. So check it out. The Etsy shop is called Wrap and Turn. This episode features the following segments: the back porch, the front porch, ever-expanding skill set, and off the shelf. On the back porch is the Bressy dress. It's a pattern by Gudrun Johnston. I began knitting this at the end of August in preparation for Rhinebeck weekend, and it's complete. I finished the dress just at the beginning of October, and over the past week I knitted the pockets and sewed them to the dress. I feel that the design of the pockets make the dress something a little bit special, but they were very challenging for me to knit, because they're knit flat, but they have the Fair Isle motif from the yoke of the dress in them. As I was working on these, I feel that I taught myself how to knit backwards. I worked the knitting from left to right so I could see the front or the right side of the fabric as I was working. This made tension a really big challenge for me, however, and I feel that one of the pockets is knit more tightly and more neatly than the other one. I probably should have knit a third pocket, but I didn't. I just seamed them to the dress. My gauge was quite loose, even though I was working US size 3, which is down a needle size from what's called for in the pattern. I could have knit these pockets on US size 2s or 2.5, maybe would have been a good idea. As it was, I did not complete the entire pocket instructions as written. I didn't do the last set of increases. There are some short rows as well. I just completed them so they were about the size that is described in the pattern, and then I stitched them on. You use a combination of mattress stitch and a whip stitch, I think, to affix them to the front of the dress. Since the dress is black, I was really concerned about them being crooked as I sewed them on. So one technique that I came up with was to take some really brightly colored yarn. I used some leftover sea salt ice cream yarn from Jinx Yarns, which is a vibrant turquoise blue color. And I just threaded some of that sock weight yarn onto a tapestry needle, and I ran that up the side of the dress, and I used the increases along the sides of the dress as my guideline, and I ran that stitching all the way up for maybe 14 or so inches along each side of the dress. And then I had a good set of visual cues for sewing on those pockets in mattress stitch, and that worked really well. I was also able to see which line of stitching I was going into with my mattress stitch, because with the black yarn, it's easy to start drifting over a few stitches if you're not looking very carefully. And then once the pockets were on and I was happy with them, I just pulled that sock yarn right out of the side of the dress. It was, I guess, similar to making a chalk line if you were working with fabric, but I used some loose stitches as a visual. And I'm pretty pleased with the way they turned out and the way the dress looks as a whole. The pockets I don't feel are functional. I may put a chapstick in one of them. I might put a few dollars in another pocket or a Kleenex. I really wouldn't put large bills in there because I feel like they might work themselves out of the pocket openings. And I did use the tubular cast on for the pocket openings, so they have a really nice finish with the ribbing on the edges. I would like to knit this dress again. I probably shouldn't say that until I've worn it for the day at Rhinebeck and see if it stretches out, it holds its shape, see how well it wears. But I do like the A-line shape of the dress. I like the color work yoke. If I were to make it again, I think I would add an interesting pattern motif, like maybe the Kelly Muffs motif with the little mushrooms on it. I would knit it in a neutral color again. I think browns or grays would be great, a great wardrobe addition. And I would avoid at least one set of increases on the yoke, maybe the last set and the second to the last set of increases. Overall, I feel this dress could be a little bit more fitted. I'm not unhappy with it. I'm not swimming in it or anything like that, but I think it could be a little more fitted, and I was really nervous about having too clingy an item as I was knitting. So if you see me at Rhinebeck, you can let me know what you think of the Bressy dress on Saturday. On the front porch is some holiday knitting. A while back, Samuel and I had looked at a number of different patterns for a cowl or a scarf that he liked. And when we went to the Steel City Fiber Festival in Bethlehem area this spring, he selected the yarn for the Tungata cowl by Stephen West. This is a colorwork cowl that is folded over on itself, so it's actually double, or I guess triple thickness if you consider the stranded knitting as double thickness. It has a beautiful pattern on one side and stripes on the other, and it could be worn as a single loop around the neck or doubled up for more warmth. So he selected a spicy brown, a gray, and a black, very masculine colors for this cowl, and I think it will knit up very handsomely. There are some excellent examples on Ravelry with more masculine color choices, and I think this is going to be nice. He selected some yarn with a bit of cashmere in it. He's very sensitive, especially the skin around his neck, and even though I wasn't enthusiastic about knitting with a yarn that had some nylon in it and that was super wash merino, he really liked the cashmere. He was very selective as he felt all of the yarn that was there at that festival, and that's what he decided on. So that's fine, and it is knitting up very nicely. I'm knitting on US size 4s, which is what the pattern calls for, and right now there is a lot of 2x2 rib in contrasting colors. So it's slow going, but the effect is really stunning. And I think this is going to make a great Christmas gift for him. This is just about the last holiday knitting that I will need to do. And so one thing that's on the front porch is a commitment I like to make for December that I do gift knitting, but my gift knitting is knitting yarn and patterns that have been given to me as gifts. I really like to celebrate the holidays by knitting that way in December. And sometimes there are a few loose ends or a last minute small item that I knit up. But really, it's a good motivating notion that I work on projects in the summer and in the fall leading up to the holidays. And then I really set December aside for some special knitting for things that I've been wanting to work on all year. This means that in addition to finishing this cowl, I also need to finish the cork shrooms that I started. I think I started them in September or maybe even August. I got the idea that I would knit these little mushroom caps that fit over wine corks as little holiday ornaments. So that means I would need to get that done in November. And then very long term, I won't mention this every podcast, but I do want to give it a few mentions because there is some interest and I want to give folks a chance to work on pattern selection or procuring supplies or materials to participate in a craft along that goes with Taproot magazine. Taproot has three sections in each issue: head, hands, and heart. And the hand section contains hands-on projects. There's often a knitting and or a crochet pattern. There are recipes, there are coloring pages, there are other kinds of crafts for the home. And this will be a great opportunity for folks to try something. Pick a project and work on it beginning in the new year. So initially I had a date of or a time period of 2 months set aside for this craft along, but I may extend it for an entire season so that it really gives folks a chance to work on something long term. But you can think about what you might like to do. And if you have an idea, you can post it in the Craft Along thread. It's already open for planning, and we'll be posting progress photographs and completed photographs as well. This is the kind of Craft Along where you do not need to complete a project in order to participate. And I look forward to seeing your post. Ever-expanding skill set. Apples are the featured ingredient for hashtag Power Pantry this month, and I've already been experimenting with apples a little bit, and there are such great recipes and ideas posted on the Ravelry thread that I feel like October won't be long enough for me to try them all. I do have my sights set on two things that I vow to make by the end of the month. One is a soup that uses a tart green apple in place of a green mango. It has Indian spices. I think it has coconut milk. This was posted by Selket, and it sounds absolutely delicious. So I think that and a fire in the fireplace will be just the ticket for a little bit later in the month. And equally nourishing and really unusual is a recipe posted by Kunstknit called German Hunter's Stew. However, the description doesn't resemble a stew so much as a variation on a shepherd's pie with mashed potatoes, a meat base. I think there's meat and mushrooms in the dish, like a really savory, sort of nourishing combination, and then also a layer of green apples. So that is fascinating. I've never had anything with quite that profile, that flavor profile. And Samuel is a really big fan of shepherd's pie. So I think this is going to be an interesting variation. I have so far made a few dishes of my own. One was an ambitious undertaking, I think, for a weeknight meal, which is I had an organic pork loin and I did a roll cut of that pork loin to open it up, and I stuffed it with a combination of apples and onions and some stale bread that I had toasted and cubed up, moistened with some white wine, and then I rolled that up and tied it. I put that into a baking dish with more chunked up apples and onions and a really sweet and tangy mixture of brown sugar, a little bit of miso paste, a little bit of that better than bouillon sort of paste that you just store in the refrigerator that kind of amps up the flavor of just about anything. So I mixed that all together and I poured that over top, and then through the baking process, I basted the pork loin with that mixture. It was absolutely delicious, excellent savory flavors, and then with the sweetness of the apple coming through. So that was a good one. And then another kind of a side dish that I made was a mixture of Swiss chard that had been sautéed with apples and onions. And I sautéed that until I got most of the liquid out of it. Then I put it into a buttered baking dish and I added a topping that's very similar to an apple crumble topping. I had brown sugar, oats, flour, and butter. I had a little less sugar than I would have in a dessert. And then I added quite a few savory spices like garam masala. I did put some nutmeg. I put some clove in there and quite a bit of black pepper. And that was a really nice savory side dish. I like the combination of apples, onions, and Swiss chard because I feel like the Swiss chard has that bitterness that just cuts through the sweetness of the apple and the caramelized onion. So it's a pretty good combination. What are you cooking with apples? What are you baking with apples? And do you have a favorite apple variety this time of year? I'd love to hear about it on the Ravelry thread. Off the shelf. In one of my recent podcasts, I mentioned that I would be sharing a poem at the end of the episode, and then I neglected to do it. So today, I absolutely feel compelled to share this October poem with you. It's titled A Letter in October, and it is by the poet Ted Kooser, who is highly skilled when it comes to writing about the seasons, about subtle changes. And he addresses this concept that I tried very hard to tackle in my MFA thesis, this notion that when writers write about a change in landscape or features of a landscape, that's often a reflection of something that's stirring inside the individual. It could be the speaker of the poem, or it could be the poet himself or herself. So that these exterior landscape details are a reflection of something interior. And I think Ted Kooser captures that notion beautifully with this poem, A Letter in October. Dawn comes later and later now, and I, who only a month ago could sit with coffee every morning, watching the light walk down the hill to the edge of the pond and place a doe there, shyly drinking, then see the light step out upon the water, sowing reflections to either side, a garden of trees that grew as if by magic. Now see no more than my face, mirrored by darkness, pale and odd, startled by time. While I slept, night in its thick winter jacket bridled the doe with a twist of wet leaves and led her away. then brought its black horse with harness that creaked like a cricket, and turned the water garden under. I woke, and at the waiting window found the curtains open to my open face. Beyond me, darkness. And I, who only wished to keep looking out, must now keep looking in.
Acorns jumping off my Chinese house. Two ducks in my spyglass, furry as a mouse. It's a sweet nature, a sweet nature thing. It's a sweet nature, a sweet nature thing. It's a mighty fine. Mighty fine nature thing. It's a mighty fine, a mighty fine nature thing. Leaves lay down like a lady waiting for a naked man. River bends like an elbow, turning stones to sand. It's a sweet nature. It's a sweet nature, a sweet nature thing. It's a mighty fine, a mighty fine nature thing. It's a mighty fine, a mighty fine nature thing.
Thanks for listening. Music for this episode is Sweet. Song and lyrics by Samuel St. Thomas, performed by Bovine Social Club. Eat well and stay strong as you hone your post-apocalyptic skill set this week.
It's a sweet nature, a sweet nature thing. It's a mighty fine. It's a mighty fine, a mighty fine nature thing. Smile. Jump in a river. ever naked and hang a country man and say, sweet nature, sweet nature, babe. See you.